I'm trying to look at the screen back there. Let's flip up another slide. Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you couldn't have planned that any better, could you?
Yeah. There's the bee bottle up there now. And there's an exact replica of that sitting over there in the warbird area. Next slide, please. These are just kind of pretty pictures. We got, I guess it was around February of 1944 that we started flying combat as a unit. And we did that by sending our flight leaders to the 354th Fighter Group, the Pioneer Group, and got our flight leaders one or two missions. And then the whole group then got involved in combat. I need to tell you about some of the tech. Let's have another slide. Pretty pictures, I think.
We want to get some question and answers in here also toward the end. Okay, whenever you're ready.
This is a pretty picture here of contrails. Everybody knows what contrails are. And I gave this talk at Fresno, and I said, you know, I think if you'd been on the ground and you saw 1,000 bombers and maybe almost 1,000 fighters accompanying them go deep into Germany and back, it had to be pretty intimidating, I think. And after I finished the talk, a little gray-haired German lady came up in front to talk to me, and she said, you know, we weren't worried about those big white things up there. We were worried about all that stuff that we were shooting up at you. When it exploded, it had to come back down. I never thought about that. you know, I'll tell you what, the American bombers, to do what we had to do, was to fly to, in daylight, in formation, in huge formations. And when they'd go to the target, they had to fly straight and level for so many minutes to get accurate bombs using the Norden bomb sight. And of course that was perfect for the guns at the ground. They could track them very accurately and fire. And they would, one group of bombers would go over the target and they'd almost leave a black cumulus cloud there. And here comes the second bunch. It's got to go right through that same cloud. And those guys had a lot of guts, and they took tremendous losses from the ground flak. And they took a tremendous loss from the German fighters. When we first got over there, the 8th Air Force, the ones that had the big bombers, thought that they could go into England in this large formation and they could always get through. and fight their way in and fight their way out. We called it the Flying Fortress. Well, they thought they could go through, get in and blow up the German war-making capability, and the troops could just walk in. Well, they forgot to tell the Luftwaffe about it. And the Luftwaffe was taking tremendous losses. Until at a point in 1943, they halted, and then they decided, look, we got to use fighters. We had fighters over there, P-38s and P-47s, but they couldn't go the distance that the bombers wanted to go. Well, we got the Mustang over there. The Pioneer Group was there for the invasion of Europe and the ground support. So they said, let's use that P-51 and see how it could do. Well, it was so wildly successful that the 8th Air Force then demanded that they get P-51s, and we were the next unit to get the Mustang. So we were the first P-51 unit in the 8th Air Force. And that meant Bud Anderson would be flying escort for primarily the entire war. So there's one thing I want to tell you about. When we first got over there, the 8th Air Force told us how to escort, and we were supposed to stay close to us. They wanted us to stay there, fly around them, under them, and over them. And when the enemy came in, they wanted us to drive them away and come back. And we could go through 18,000 feet chasing them, but then if we hadn't shot them down, I had to break it off and come back up. Well, it wasn't the best way in the world to do it, but that's what we did. Then the spring of 1944 was very critical because the invasion of Europe was scheduled for June. And we had to defeat the Luftwaffe before we could conduct this invasion of Europe. So we weren't doing a very good job of it. The Army Air Corps concept was that you go back and blow up the factories and the fuel and critical things to flying. But the Luftwaffe was still very, very potent in the start of 1944. And there's two significant things happened that I think had a dramatic impact on the air war over Europe and the defeat of Germany. It was a change of command. General Jimmy Doolittle took over the 8th Air Force and the arrival of the Mustang at the same time. And what happened was, I didn't know this, I read it in General Doolittle's book after the war. He went down to visit the 8th Fighter Command. He walks in and he sees a sign over the door. Says the mission of the 8th Fighter Command is to bring the bombers back safely, something like that. And he says, who put that up there? And General Kepner says, I don't know, it was here when I got here. So he says, well, take it down. The mission of the 8th Fighter Command is to destroy the Luftwaffe. So he took that restriction off the fighter pilots, and he said, from now on, you fighter pilots, when you engage the enemy, you take them to the ground and kill them. It was called Pursue and Destroy. And how we defeated the Luftwaffe was not the classic way of blowing them up on the ground. We killed their experienced pilots in aerial combat. The victories really soared during the spring of 44. And this allowed the invasion of Europe and the eventual downfall of Germany. And so we got the four top guns of the 367 fighter group up there. I'll introduce them really quick, left to right. Peterson, Carson, Johnny England, England Air Force Base, there's the guy he was named after, and a young Bud Anderson. And so I was going to show the film, but we showed the film first. So this kind of concludes my
We've got
Sam, I think we need thank you. Thank you, Colonel Anderson. Excuse me, Sam, for interrupting. Colonel Anderson and Jim Anderson, Ron Fagan, Sam Bass, thank you for being our moderator for this this special program that we put together.